Book of Matthew, chapter number 7, tonight, Book of Matthew, chapter 7. Our intent, I hope, well, our intent is, my desire is that you might learn something tonight and might gain something from God's Word. Matthew, chapter number 7, and I want to read verses 15 to 20. Verses 15 to 20. And we're going to find two times a verse that is recorded here. That is the parable. It's only one verse long, but I want us to notice this in the context. Matthew chapter number 7 and verse 15. Let's have you stand tonight, if you would please. Chapter number 7, verse 15, down to verse number 20 with me, please. If you don't have a Bible with you, somebody's close at hand, if you can kind of peek over their shoulder and read with me. It says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." If you'll notice verse number 16, the first part of it, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." And then verse number 20, "Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." That's our main text tonight. You may be seated. I'm not going to ask, I'm going to demand. No more talking. We have something very important from God's Word. I know I'm not the most interesting guys. I don't stand on my head. I don't know how to walk on my hands. Well, I do, but it hurts my hands when my feet step on them. I don't know how to do a lot of things, but we do have the Word of God that is extremely important. It changed my life. And some of you have heard my story, but at 19, my life changed because of this Bible. And no doubt some of your lives have changed. If they haven't, what we say tonight, I hope it makes some great sense. If it has, I hope it makes some great sense tonight and that we can gain something for our soul. Four times, I mentioned, this truth is mentioned in the Word of God. Twice here in our text, also in chapter 12 and verse 33. We will look at that in a little while. And then also in the book of Luke, chapter 6 and verse 44, and we will also see that. They involve, however, only two different occasions. This one is in the Sermon on the Mount. And then we find the others are when the Lord Jesus Christ encounters critics, people who are criticizing Him because He cast out a demon. Okay. So we had a demon-possessed person. Jesus cast out the demon, and then He gets criticized for it. And so the Lord there also uses this parable concerning, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." By their fruit. Interesting thoughts that we look at here tonight. I want us tonight just stop and think about this in just three different compartments, if you please. First, I'd like for us to think about the parable in its composition. What composes it? Then we're going to look at the context, because there's two different contexts that I've already mentioned. One, the Sermon on the Mount, the other in this encounter with the critics. And then we're going to make some application. I'm just going to call that a critique of the parable as we look here at some different thoughts with that. Here we find the composition of this parable just simply about, "By their fruits ye shall know them." Or as he says there in verse number 16, "Ye shall know them by their fruit." Interesting, we find that Christ often used, and I just use this word, vegetation to describe different things or to illustrate different things. One of the things that helps us understand is illustrations. Stories, if you please. If we want to learn about something that's foreign to us And yet we know something that's very similar, and we can take that and use that to teach us about it, then it's helped us. And that's what an illustration does. It is something that we're familiar with or somewhat familiar with to help us understand something else. And a parable is basically an earthly story that's given us, as some people call, a heavenly meaning. It's helping us to understand some spiritual truth. And so the Lord uses seeds. In fact, we talked about the sowing of seed. He talks about weeds. He talks about grapevines. Here we have trees. How do you know one tree from another? The leaves. How many of you, seriously, can tell different trees by their leaves? Huh? Some of you can. Some trees, okay, a few of the trees. But by and large, if I brought a leaf in here, we might be able to say, well, this one is associated with this, but most of them we'd be kind of foreign with. Now, my one son, Wayne, that comes here to church, he works as an arborist, okay, which is a man who works with trees, and he knows them very well. He can see a leaf and tell you what kind of tree it is. I look at a leaf and I think, yep, that might be a tree. It might be a weed. I'm just not too sure. But there is something that really helps me to know certain trees especially. If it's something that's red and it's about that big around and it's nice and shiny on the outside, it's probably an apple tree. Okay? If it's red, but it's only about that big around, it's probably a cherry tree. Okay? If it's somewhat oblong and it's kind of yellowish, greenish, somewhat oblong, pear tree. All right. What do we know? We know trees by their fruit. How many have ever seen a banana tree? Okay? They grow wild. They plant them on purpose down in Costa Rica. They taste a little bit different what you and I will have. But we know trees by the fruit that's on them. And so the Lord, I ask you guys to do something. And so what we understand is God is teaching us something very important here. He says we can determine the kind of tree by its fruit. It's the tree that determines the fruit. Okay? So whatever kind of tree it is going to make up that kind of fruit. You're not going to find a pear growing on an apple tree. It just doesn't happen. A number of years ago, just about where the swing set is over here, there was an apple tree that had two kinds of apples on it. And they were two different types of apples. But what they had done years before is they had grafted a branch from one apple tree, one kind, into this one. And so it had its own, and then it also had this kind of apple on it. And you can do that. You don't normally do that and have a pear tree and apple tree, though that is somewhat possible. But naturally, an apple tree is going to bear apples. There's a truth that God wants us to understand here, and that is that whatever you are and whatever I am, there's going to be a product from us. You shall know them by their fruits. Okay? I can know you by what you produce. The things that you do, the things that you say. And I can begin to understand and know you by those things. By the way, how do we get to know people? What do? We talk with them. We're producing the thoughts that are in our minds and in our hearts through words, and other people get to know us. Okay? And so God is telling us here a very wonderful truth, but it's got some deep spiritual implications, okay, as we will soon notice here. One of the things that can happen is you can look at a tree and you can look at the leaf, and out of ignorance, and that would be very true of me, I could say, that's a maple tree, when actually it's an oak tree. I could look at it and I could think it was this kind when it was something else, simply because I looked at it and misjudged the leaves. And then there are some leaves that are very similar from one tree to the next. They ain't very similar. But every tree has its own fruit. It becomes very distinctive. You got a question? It's a little different story, but it's the same principle. And that pine cone is really the fruit from that tree. Okay? So, by the way, many pine trees, you'd look at it and you would say, boy, that looks like that one and that one and that one. But there are many, many different kinds of pine trees. Okay? And it's incredible how many different kinds there are of those. So we find this truth to be there. You got a question? I don't want to stop for a bunch of questions, guys. Evergreen trees? Okay. What eats on them? Well, the little pine cone is basically, you're not going to find a fruit that you're going to eat. Okay? But the fruit is the seed, okay? You've seen pine cones? Okay. That's the fruit that comes off of it. What? I can't hear you. Can an animal eat it? I don't know. Not all fruits are eaten. I'm sure there are some. Okay. You know an animal eats it. Okay. Okay. Come back to me. Let's listen up now. Because I want us to talk about this a little bit farther. As we think about the composition of the parable, one of the things that we know, we can look at that and we can misjudge it. Okay. And we can inspect the fruit, though, and we can really tell one tree from another. And you and I, we need to be, what, producing the right kind of fruit. And if we're not, and we're producing another kind, it's telling us who we are. Okay? One of the things that we find, if you look at our text here, what's he say in verse 15? How many got their Bible open? It says what? Beware of what? False prophets. And notice, this is actually a parable too, which come to you in sheep's clothing. But inwardly they are ravening wolves. Okay? So what's that telling us? That's telling us that we have those who give us the Word of God, or supposedly do, and they are not doing it properly. It is not for the right reason. Okay? So they have they come to us and we think, boy, they look good. They got all the right leaves. But there's something wrong. Okay? And so we have false prophets. We're going to talk about a couple of things with false prophets in just a few moments, because it's very important for us to understand this. Because what he's trying to get us to understand is we make some determinations in life who we are going to listen to. We make those determinations, and we need to make them based upon the right premise. Not simply because it looks good, but because of the fruit that is produced. As we think a little bit farther here about this parable, we're going to notice there's two things that this particular parable is trying to teach us. One, it is for the purpose of exposing false prophets. We see that from this context. That's its purpose. If we are to heed the warning about false prophets, then we need to learn to discern who they are. And God gives us here a foolproof method to determine and to examine, and that is their fruit. What is their fruit? Well, let's think about this. You are a person that has character. What kind of character? What kind of person are you? And the character here is very important for those who are what? Giving us the Word of God. In other words, do you want somebody standing teaching you the Word of God who lies? Well, you want somebody that's what? Truthful, don't you? You want somebody that is seeking to live it, that really believes it themselves. And one of the things that irks me and galls me greatly is Hollywood, in making movies, make most preachers look like they don't really believe what they're saying. And there are some like that. I wish once in a while they would find and make one that the guy really believes it, because there's a bunch. But that's talking about the character. I hope that when you hear me speak, that you know that this book is a part of my life. I hope that comes through. It's not just words to get you to come and put money in an offering plate so I can go live luxuriously somewhere. That hasn't happened yet. By the way, it's not my plan. My luxurious living is in the future. It's called heaven. Okay? And the Lord has that, if we want to call it that, in the future. Okay? But we look at character. There's other things that come from us. What do we believe? In other words, our creed. What is it they believe? There's one thing that's very important that we must look at when it comes to those who are given us, especially the Word of God. What do they believe concerning the Lord Jesus Christ? What do they believe concerning that? You got your Bible? Turn with me to 1 John. 1 John, almost the back of your Bible, in chapter number 4. 1 John, chapter number 4. Now he starts this verse and he says, Beloved. That's interesting. Beloved. Here's a term of endearment. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Are there false prophets? Yes. He says there's many. Right? But notice what he says next. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. So we have those who come along that are Antichrist. Though they pretend to be Christian, though they pretend to give us truth, and yet their doctrine, yet what they teach is not right. And one of the critical areas is, what do they teach about Jesus Himself? For instance, do they teach He was born of a virgin? That is very important. Do they teach that Jesus Christ, here, let me give you this word, is deity. That means big word. Well, it's only five letters long. But it means that He is God. Do they teach that? For instance, one major religion in our country that many would say is Christian. Hey, I don't appreciate disrespect. Got it? Yeah. I point you out because you did it to me. And they teach that Jesus Christ is not God. And I will tell you who they are. And it'll make sense in a moment. Jehovah Witnesses. They believe there's only one God. I believe there's one God, but they don't believe there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the three in one. They don't believe that. And they're wrong. Jesus Christ is God. He said, I and my Father are one. It's a little bit out of our understanding, but it's a truth that's throughout the Word of God. Okay? So what do they believe about Jesus becomes very important. And if we're going to discover that, then we need to know who Jesus is from the Word of God. So that becomes very, very important for us. So we got a foolproof method whereby we do that. Okay? And that is, what do they believe about Jesus? Okay? Don't allow their charm, their charisma, to sway you away from their fruit. Because a guy sounds good, he's got a flowing tongue, that doesn't mean. Okay? We have, no offense, but we have a president who sits today and says, I am a Christian. The fruit does not show it. He's not the first president that said it and didn't show it. But it's very obvious we stop and look at it. And the things that he says that take us the other direction. We need to be people who understand that what is in the character, what is in our creed, and the things that we believe, they make up who we are. And we shall be known by our what? Our fruits. Now, what is very true is that you and I need to make some careful judgments. You say, but preacher, the Bible says that we should not have a judgmental attitude. Because the Bible says, judge not lest ye be judged. That is a true statement. Let's see if we can put these two things together. How can we make judgments and yet not be judgmental? How can we do this? Well, the Bible says here that we're to judge what? What are we to look at here? In this text, we shall know them by their what? Their fruits. Okay? So we look at what is being produced. Okay? What is being produced? We make judgment concerning that. But it's not in a condemning fashion to the person. There is a difference. There is that which they believe, that which they have, that we can judge and say, hey, that's wrong. But at the same time, it's not with a condemning attitude. It's not one that's, especially concerning their attitudes. In other words, we don't always know. We look at things and we make judgments about why they're doing it. We make judgments and say, why are you grouchy today? I've had people ask me that. I wasn't grouchy. What did they do? They made a judgment based upon a facial expression, perhaps because at the moment they saw me, I was in a dilemma. You follow? Am I making sense? And so we make judgments like that. We ought not judge persons' motives. Why they're doing what they do. We don't always know those things. But we can judge that which they did. A guy crashes his car, the speedometer is stuck on 80 miles an hour. What is our judgment? He was speeding. That is an accurate judgment. Okay? Why was he speeding? He was seeking to get his wife to the hospital because she was very sick. See, we might make a judgment he was a very evil man for speeding when actually he was trying to do something for somebody else. Was he doing something wrong? Yes. Follow the difference? We have to make judgments of things that we basically see and hear. Okay? So it's very important. The Bible tells us we are to live separated lives. In other words, you and I are going to have to make judgments about what we are to separate ourselves from and what we're to separate ourselves to. We've got to make those judgments. Listen to what the Word of God says. Romans chapter 16, 17 says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. And he says this, and avoid them. So we're looking, we're seeing some people who are doing some things that are causing division. What does God say? We've got to make a judgment and stay away from them. Not based upon their person, but upon what they are doing. In other places, he says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, he says, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing. The Lord is telling us that really, as a Christian, we ought to hang around other Christians. We're going to have to make a judgment on individuals. How are we going to do that? Because they say where they're a Christian? Let me ask you this. How many know somebody, fellas? How many know somebody that says they're a Christian, but you don't really think so? They don't act like it. Yeah, I think most of them say that. Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Then why do you do the things that you do? Might be our question. So, we have to make some judgments on that. How do we do that? We judge them by their what? Their fruits. The things that they do. And things they say. Now, they might say they're Christian, but we hear them cussing all the time. Using God's name in vain, but never using God's name as an expression of love. What would be your determination? We would probably think, I'm not sure they're saved. I need to what? Make a different friend. And this is what God's trying to help us to understand. We have a responsibility as Christians. The Bible tells us, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, he says, restore such an one the spirit of meekness. How are we going to do that for a fellow Christian if we don't make judgments about what they are doing? Again, not the reason why they did it, but the actual thing they did. Now, after we talk to them, we might find out the reason, we might understand. But far too often we don't even do that, do we? But we need to be what? Very cognizant of what it is that people do. We judge their actions. Okay? We're not to judge motives, perceptions of people, their viewable actions, and their words that ring true. In other words, we are fruit inspectors. We're going to look for evidences of salvation. We're going to look for evidence of it. How do I believe that somebody is saved? Because I've seen a change in their life. I've seen them, instead of wanting to do these things, now they want to do this. One of the things I find when people get saved is they want to be with other Christians. I always wonder about somebody who says, oh, I'm saved, but I don't want to go to church. I just wonder. I don't see any evidence. A Christian who's a Christ one wants to have a relationship with Christ. He may not know how to. He may not understand it fully, but there's that desire. There's a desire. You want to know about Him. There's a desire inside. There is, and it shows itself. What's your name?
Kaylin.
Kaylin, yeah. I do not know what's in your heart. All I can see is your person. All I can know about you is what you tell me. And what I hear and what I observe, if they go together, I'm going to believe what you say. That's all I can go on. So when I look at a person, I don't know their heart. Okay? I can't I can't see that. But I can see what you do. And when I look at young people or old people or some younger ones back there, which group you in there, Kimmy? She don't know. You're younger than me and older than these. Puts her in the middle, huh? And wherever we're at, it doesn't matter on the scale. When we look at people, we cannot know anything but what we see and hear, basically. Okay? I cannot know your heart. But I look at and I see those things. And the Lord says, ye shall know them by their fruit. Now that's interesting. We're going to go to another scripture here and take a look here. I want you to go to chapter 12 of the book of Matthew. I think is where I want to go. If you remember right, the first I talked about, there's two different situations that the Lord gave us this particular parable. This is the other situation, and it was when there was a man brought to Jesus, and they criticized him for what he did. Now notice verse number 33. He says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. Now notice this, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Now what you speak, well, we can lie from time to time, and we can tell people we're Christians, but what we speak most of the time is going to reveal who we really are. Really, all we got to do is really listen to people. Are you with me? Now, how can you tell which you are? Listen to yourself. Most Christians are carnal Christians. How can you tell? Though they know the Lord Jesus Christ, they will profess Him to be their Savior. They will read their Bible from time to time. They rarely talk about Him, even at church. So what do we determine? We can determine some things from that. How's that going to change? How's their talk going to change? This is where I'm headed. How's their talk going to change? That which we know them by. How's it going to change? Out of the what comes forth our words. Out of the heart. Okay? I don't know your heart other than by what you tell me. Okay? The only way you can really change your words is to have a change in the heart. I have found from the Word of God there's only one way the heart can be changed. And if I can put it in these kinds of words, it's to give it to Jesus. It's the only way. And when that heart is changed, then the words change. You see, for you, it's more important to mess around and bother your friend who's trying to listen. You know what that tells me about your heart? It needs changed. Very much. And we need to be a people who are concerned about that. And I want that to be changed in every life. Okay? That's the only way that takes place is we let God do that. The Bible teaches us that when we will believe in the Lord with our heart, He will save us. That's a term that simply means He will change us. And now that heart can begin to speak in the right direction, give evidence in the right direction. Am I making sense? Do we understand? Don't just shake your head if you don't mean it. I want to know that you understand it. It is very important for us to understand that how we behave comes from here. And that's the fruit. That's what people know you by. That's how folks perceive you. Do they see you as, and please don't laugh at this, but just to differentiate, do they see you as an apple or an orange? What do they see you? What kind of fruit is there? Is it good fruit? Or is it something inedible like a pine cone?
Can you actually eat a pine cone?
See, no, I don't want to eat one. So it's a matter, please, stay with me. It's a matter that we allow God to change the heart so that the right thing comes out. But what? You shall be known by your fruits. That which comes out of the mouth, that by which you live. And people make judgments about that, and they need to. And by the same token, we need to make judgments about the actions and the words of people. And as Christians, that we not be caught in the wrong spot. You see, today, there's a lot of Christians who are more willing to listen to a psychologist than the Bible. Christian psychology books are selling like hotcakes. The Word of God has the answers. I have people all the time tell me what that person needs to see a professional that's had education in psychology or psychiatry. No. The Word of God has the truth and can lead us in the right direction. A biblicist. Most of you folks sitting here that know the Lord can do a far greater job of counseling an individual than the guy who sits with a degree. You don't think so because we've been trained to believe that that degree makes him the one. No, the Bible has the answers. Amen. Now, somebody who knows the Bible very well might do a better job than us. Okay? But that has the answers. How many believe it's the book of life? You see, he tells us that if we are thinking upon it, that he's going to keep us in the right direction. How's the verse go? Whose mind is, he will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is what? Stayed upon him. That's the truth. Okay? So we find some good things. Well, listen, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. What's my time? Sean will be in here for you young folks. By the way, for you guys who are going to come this Sunday, Sean who comes in here, he is the teacher in the Sunday school time that you guys would go with. And then in the church time, you come in here with me and the others. So I'm looking for you guys to do that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you tonight for your blessed word. Lord, I thank you for each one here and the attention that most gave. Lord, I thank you for courtesy, and I thank you, Lord, for respect. And Lord, I thank you that you are worthy of it. And Lord, I pray that you might just work in every heart. Lord, I don't know hardly the fruits of many of the lives here, but God, you do. Lord, I pray that you'd help them to inspect themselves. And there's a need of salvation, a need to turn to You, to allow You to change their hearts. Oh God, I pray that You would just impress that in their life. Work and bless in every heart and life. Lord, I love each one here tonight. I thank You for them. And I pray that You just have Your hand upon them in a wonderful way as they leave from this place tonight. Bless them tomorrow and all that they do and endeavor. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Alrighty. Amen. I'm not sure what Sean's doing with you, so just stay put till we find out. Okay? Amen. The rest of you guys are dismissed.